Welcome to Primary Attribute. We're a Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they, them pronouns.
Hi, my name's Adam. I play as Vons and Vons, both nacho cheese and cool ranch flavor, and those are our furry fox folk friends. We all use the he, him pronouns, and today we're wondering why in the last episode you could see us doing things and hear music playing, but...
What?
Take us home.
Oh, did I stop talking?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But you couldn't hear the dialogue. There was just music playing and us exercising and running around and stuff. And
oh, okay. I understand. Okay. I'm Aaron. Uh-huh. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use they, she pronouns. I've rescued Adam because we had a montage. That's what happened last time. We had a montage, and that's probably what we're going to do this time. Very excited for drilling montage.
I'm
so confusing.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard, currently melded with Sidroa, the goo creature. And our portmanteau is Weldroa. We'll take any pronouns you want to throw at us. My pronouns are they, them. And I'm hoping that I'll do better at the montage than I did last time.
And I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist / mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold pilot. We all use he, him pronouns. And we're getting up to Elday.
Elday. Writing that down.
If you get a chance, you should rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. It helps people find us, makes us feel good about what we do. You should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. Aaron, would you like to do the recap?
I would love to do the recap. The recap is very short because, as we said before, it was a montage. We did a bunch of prep to be able to get ready to do the drills. And then we did the first drill. And we had mostly a success on both of those things. So, yay!
Hooray!
Mostly.
Yay!
Nothing wrong with good enough. All right. So, we've gone through two drills. The city is doing okay. Now, I guess the question I have for you is, so these drills have mostly been for people inside the city so far that we've looked at, but you guys are planning on being the outside of the city when the actual landing happens, right?
Yes.
I think we haven't necessarily talked very specifically about what we were going to, like, where everybody individually was going to be.
Not specifically, but we did talk about that a lot of people need to be outside to prep for that. I think it was more about readiness, the drill.
Yeah.
A little less about, like, the actual tactics. Yeah, definitely some of that, like, you know, get to your stations and that kind of thing, but...
Yeah.
So we're just gonna all wait until it's almost on the ground, and then we're all just gonna jump at the same time?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh, yeah, for sure, like an elevator.
Uh-huh. And your phone is gonna go everywhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and your phone's gonna go everywhere. Yeah, exactly. And that'll... be how we land and keep everyone safe in landing.
Just feather fall potions everywhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're just gonna douse the arcs itself in a feather fall potion when it gets close.
A flawless plan with no downsides whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that does sort of encourage the question of what would happen if the arcs was falling too fast. And, like, everyone inside took a featherfall potion.
We all hold it up.
Like, yeah.
Or brace against the ceiling.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would never get in the way of player freedom. You can try it.
I don't want to, but I just want to know what would happen.
I believe we discussed this previously and didn't come to a solid conclusion.
We discussed this previously?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right. Was it a time when I wasn't around?
I don't think so. I think we...
We didn't go through getting everyone one, but we asked if at least one person had one, what would happen?
I don't remember that.
No, that doesn't sound...
I mean, possible. That sounds like a throwaway conversation.
Not canonical.
Yeah.
Do you all want to talk about it in character as a backup plan?
No, not really. It sounds like a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay.
I mean... It sounds like it will take a while.
Uh-huh.
But if it means the difference between us, like, landing this thing safely and not, I mean, that's, like, pretty much the whole game.
Right, I don't... cannot imagine that it's the difference between us landing this thing safely and not. Yeah. And it
have you played this engine before?
Yeah. And I also know that Ian doesn't like to play tricks on us in that way.
Castling Crusades also has a limited capacity for whimsy as a game engine.
Yeah, that is pretty whimsical.
I feel like this would exceed its limits.
Okay.
If Vons wants to make an intelligence check, we can put this answer to bed.
That's fine.
Just live in mystery. All right. So it is time for the second drill, which is going to be the more improv-heavy one. So my question is, you as a group, where do you want to be? Do you want to be playing Corrupted? Do you want to be inside? Do you want to be outside? Do you want to be focusing on hurting people or just being part of the crowd and seeing if they manage to hurt themselves without leadership from the instructor?
I think Jesse would want to be probably outside if we're practicing for the real thing now. Because I assume that's either where she'll be or she can at least like better advise the people who are going to for sure be outside.
All right. Vonsis, where do you want to be?
I don't know. Like, they want to be hidden in a cozy, comfy tunnel, or some place in the dark. But this doesn't seem like the time to be anywhere you want to be.
Where do you want to be within the context of the drill that you're conducting, I suppose?
Well, what's the drill we're conducting anyway?
General Ark's Landing Drill. The idea being that this time it's less strictly scripted, so a bunch of people are going to be like, I'm going to tell this corrupted squad what to do. Without telling everyone else what they're going to do and see how the defenders react and things like that.
Well, it's still pretty open-ended. I guess we'll put one in one place and one in the other place. We'll put Nacho Vaughn's... the term is just outside. Is there like a particular activity that's happening outside? What's the shape of this?
This would be out on the plazas, positioning yourself with the guardians defending the arcs and the various militias that you have been raising who are going to be supporting them. So these are the people that are going to be fighting the corrupted head on. Ideally, the corrupted don't get inside, but you all want them to be ready, because if they do, things are going to get fucked real fast unless people react very well.
Yeah, that's not something he's likely to have much to do with directly. Well, maybe. I don't know. Something tells me this isn't happening like I'm imagining it.
Could you remind us of, like, what all the different things that we could have been doing in the other ones are? So that we're sort of...
I was more trying to get your general position, and then we were going to do a scene in those spots, rather than breaking it down quite as granularly as last time. Last time you went and you trained people on how to, like, use their magic and how to hold the weapon on the right end and swing it without hurting themselves. And, you know, where they should be and what formation they should stand in and things like that, kind of as the prep. And then the second drill was like, okay, everyone get your gear, get people to shelter that aren't going to fight, get yourselves to where you're going to fight, trying to train people how to not panic, things like that. And the idea is that this time you would be a little more embedded. And so you'd still be helping run the drills, but you'd be getting some practice time in yourself as well. Like, people are going to all know the broad strokes, but it's not going to be as micromanaged as the previous one was.
Okay. So this is effectively combat training that we're doing.
Yes.
Yes. Well, Vons' combat is pretty much both of them is really more designed for interior spaces. So just be inside, whatever inside means.
Okay. You'll be inside the arcs. Do you want to be in the Warrens or do you want to go out on the town and see a different neighborhood?
Well, where's the combat training happening? In all of those places,
everywhere.
I assume, then?
Everywhere.
I would think they would be just inside the door. How many doors are there?
There's one door you all are super worried about, and that's the front door, which connects to command. So you would probably be up there if you want to do the door into the entire arcs. You could also, in theory, guard the door to your neighborhood. But okay. So we have the Vons as at command. Aldroa.
Mm-hmm.
You're at a cat door. You are a cat at a door. Do you want to be inside or outside?
I think outside. I think my line of mages with their magic missile would probably do best as I'm thinking a line of them at each entrance so that they can be the last line of defense before anybody starts getting in.
Archers at the back kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Grixen.
Yeah. I think Steamboat needs more time practicing just like basic. Well, no, that's not true because he's special with the whole flying stuff.
It is easier to fly more extensively outside.
Yeah, it sure is. And that's his, key activity right now. So he'll be outside, but he'll be on defense. I think Grix still will be best suited for pretending to be enemies.
Okay.
And raising threats.
Do you want to be up in command or do you want to do it elsewhere? Command is the most likely breach point.
Most likely breach point?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'll start elsewhere. I'll start outside and then try to run whatever becomes the breach. So, but starting from the outside.
Okay, cool. All right. So yeah, we can use that to transition over to the Vonses. So first off, outside folks, it's time for the drill. The bells are ringing, telling everyone to get in place. You're out on the plazas in front of the arcs. It's been a while, so these are big, wide, stone-tiled plazas. They have colonnades, but no roof. And currently it is a windy, overcast, chilly, damp day. Because it turns out when you're in the clouds all the time, you kind of only get one type of weather.
Uh-huh.
Although it is not currently raining, so that's nice. You are under, but not under necessarily the direct command of Katarina Mulberry Farmer, who is the commander of the Guardians and out here, albeit towards the back line. And there are many, many formations of Guardians spread out across the plazas. You got your lines of mages right in front of the door because the last line of defense is best made with D4 hit dice. I suppose the door's there too. And then you also have, looking much less disciplined and much less certain of themselves, a bunch of people who have been raised as a militia in scattered formations around as well. For the Vonses that are just inside, you're privy to the fact that there is a truly just very complex medical setup. Getting people out of defending the outside involves like taking them to a safe room and closing the outer door and opening the inner door and then dragging them from wherever they are to the actual medical facilities as fast as humanly possible. So a lot of what you are seeing is just you're there to guard and there's a bunch of people trying to figure out the best way to move around all of you. So they don't trip over you, you don't trip over them, and they can still move people and supplies extremely quickly, basically all along the front of the arcs. So there's a hubbub going on. But eventually everyone finds their places, and those of you outside face down row after row after row of deeply intimidating people wearing placards around their neck that say, corrupted enemy. Some of them are corrupted enemy large. Some of them are corrupted enemy spear. Some of them are corrupted enemy rocks. Why are there so many rocks? Why do we keep encountering rocks? That one kind of runs off the end. It gets crammed at the bottom.
ROC?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
I don't know. We haven't seen any corrupted rocks. ROCKs.
Okay. Yeah, so. I would have been really confused about that, actually.
That's the real end game, is they're going to corrupt the granite that makes up the mountain.
No. No, that's our home.
We're using that.
Well, what's it going to do? It's granite.
Mountain's haunted.
Oh no, it's an evil rock. Okay, well, it's still a rock, so...
Shale, it's saturated with oil. The only way to defeat it is fracking.
Boo!
It'll fall at an inconsistent speed, so any plan to jump or use Featherfall fails.
I think that Ian would know better than to make the real enemy fracking all along.
The real ally fracking
all along. Yeah,
it wouldn't be the ally or the solution. You are correct. Yeah, so just to kind of make it so we have an order of how to do things, everyone who is currently outside, roll initiative. So that'll be Jesse, Valdroa, Steamboat, and Grix.
Oh, shit. I'm a 2.
7.
7 for Grix.
I can't read it yet. 3.
1 for Steamboat.
I guess that's right. I have to roll again. 2. So that'd be
well,
3 for
regular Vaughn's isn't outside.
They're both inside, but I can keep their counts. Easy enough.
We're just inside, so I figured it pertained.
Okay. Yeah.
Might as well know it now. All right. Jesse, are you rolling with your friends, or you're rolling with one of your normal ranger squads? Your beloved coworkers.
I think it makes the most sense to because everybody's kind of doing their own thing overall anyway. So I think I am going to go with the ranger squad.
Okay.
Oh, does that mean that Jesse's dad gets to be in the scene?
Sure.
Was one of her coworkers. I don't remember if I gave him a name. I don't think I did.
JD. You can Jesse's dad.
JD. Ah, yes. Whether that's really what it stands for is anyone's guess.
No one knows.
Jesse got her personality from someone. It was definitely her dad.
How do you and your dad bond right before this starts? What are you talking about? Besides, be in position.
I'm like, oh yeah, the kids are good. They're like really enjoying being down there. You should definitely come visit, when everything's done. And like, if you want to live there too, that's cool.
I mean, the grandkids are pretty great, but I don't know. I'd have to do carpentry.
Oh God, no, no, no.
Oh good.
And I mean, like, you do whatever. I mean, there's not like animals there or anything. At least I don't think there's animals there. I haven't noticed any. I mean, there's bees. You could be a beekeeper. You want to be a beekeeper?
Never thought about being a ranger for bees. Do you want to be a beekeeper?
I mean, I'm probably going to learn how to be a beekeeper, at least somewhat. We need a lot of honey for the cure, if that works, and we can do it. So maybe.
That's what I like to hear. Unshakable confidence.
I don't know. I figure I'll probably like bounce around. I've really enjoyed doing, whatever random stuff for a while here. So,
Well, I'm sure you'll be great at whatever you decide to do.
Aw, thanks, Dad.
Hey, look, a bunch of people are running towards us.
And... Oh, great. Okay.
All right. So, you go and you are being... Basically, there is a group of corrupted actors trying to go towards you, while another group is trying to loop around the side and flank you. If you fall back, you're going to fall into another formation, and if you fall to the right, you're going to end up, or fall to the side, I suppose, you're going to end up more isolated. Which would you prefer to do? Or do you want to roll a tactics check and try to figure out exactly what the best idea would be?
I guess I'll run a tactics, I'd like to do a tactics check. Is that intelligence or wisdom?
We can make it wisdom in this case, because I think it's in the moment battlefield stuff.
That's 28 for a prime.
Okay. You figure that basically moving isn't going to work. So you go and you call up one of the guardian groups too, that has some more melee fighters than I think you guys do. Because I imagine a lot of rangers are at least semi-archery focused and certainly not heavily armored. So you manage to remember, oh, hey, behind me and to the left are some people in heavy armor, and you manage to call them up and they cut off the corrupted squad in time. So you can focus on just the ones coming in front of you.
Great.
And shoot rubber tipped arrows at them, or beanbag tipped arrows, or whatever you're using for practice here.
Sure.
Extremely expensive suction cup arrows made from extremely rare rubber. It's a terrible use of resources. Uh-huh. All right. So you're doing that. Well, Droa.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you have your esteemed wizards, witches, warlocks, casters of all stripes and varieties hold their fire? Is it a wait until you see the whites of their eyes kind of situation? Which would be a little difficult because, it went through a bunch of the front lines, or do you want to spread it out a bit?
Spread it out a bit. We've got 120 feet, so, at the bare minimum. But I'm going to have arcs of them, so that the curve of the arc is at the door, and there's like three people standing there, and then they curve off out so that, they can shoot. and keep an eye on people who might be trying to flank us. And then the last two people are also watching up what might be going on up above.
Okay. So I guess roll an intelligence check for managing your folks as they basically managing their rate of fire. So you can make sure you still have some juice left.
Don't fuck this up. Yes. 17, 28, and 30.
You do fantastic. So you managed to get this going at a regular interval. You managed to keep a good tally of who's fired what so far. What kind of stuff are you contributing in here? Did you just prep magic missile in every single slot you have this morning?
Or? I did magic missile in one slot, and then the remainder is fireball.
For a drill?
Well, I mean...
Firing over their heads, I assume.
Yeah, fireball over their heads. So everybody knows what to expect.
Okay.
Because frankly,
the person next to you gets burnt
that.
To a crisp. It was planned.
Just fireballs.
Everywhere.
Quite intense.
Okay. Steamboat.
Yeah.
You're outside but playing defense?
Yeah. Are there any other folks who are taken to the air? Is like Shield?
Well, Shield isn't out here yet.
Okay.
I think Shield talked to you and said that they will show up for the actual fight, but they're basically waiting to out themselves as dragon until the last possible second, because... That said,
I might counsel them on that.
Okay.
Does the rest of the Arcs not know?
No.
Correct. No.
Most people don't. Only a handful.
Huh.
I might counsel them on that and say that now would be probably a good time, because...
Okay. I guess you don't want to surprise dragon.
What are they going to do? Kick you off the mountain now?
Yeah, it's just a weird time. Like, he's been keeping it a secret for so long, and we just like develop friendships and stuff.
That might also like bolster people. Like, yeah, we got a dragon on our side, and also it'll keep them from panicking.
Yeah. All right, Grix, make a charisma check. I'm assuming this is Grix and not Steamboat.
Yeah. No, this was it was Steamboat who was thinking about it. So I think it's Steamboat, unfortunately. So some kind of penalty to the relationship aspect of it. Yeah, well, I rolled an 18 on the die, so that's a 29. 30.
Okay, I'm going to say that you convinced Shield to show up. Also, I might have missed where Grix was in the count when I was writing this down. Do you remember, even roughly?
Oh yeah, Grix was 7. Same as...
Oops. I will jump back.
Jesse.
Okay, but first we'll resolve this. Okay, so Shield basically, in this flashback, says...
I would open that up to everyone else, though. I don't want Steamboat to decide this.
Jesse would agree. I mean, Jesse agrees. Like, Jesse never quite understood why exactly Shield was, like, hiding.
It's like when you win the lottery, you don't want to.
Their identity? I mean, like, I think that probably somebody must have explained to her why, but I don't think that Jesse would, like, not. Like, I just think that Jesse would also be like, yeah, no, I mean, like, I think it'll be fine.
Everyone's going to invite you to their parties and get pissy if you don't show up. People are going to leave small piles of gold outside your door, hoping you'll sit on it. Somebody's pilot light on their oven is going to go out and they're invite you over to re-blow it.
And they'll answer the door wearing only a bra and panties. It's fine.
People make inappropriate jokes about... your sexual attraction to trucks.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yes.
What a deep fucking cut.
You're not a Tumblr native.
There's millions of people on that Reddit. It's a Reddit thing originally.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think I remember one of the first widespread set of images.
It still goes hard.
I should have thought that, yes, of course, it continued.
Thank you, baby.
All right. You convinced Shield. So,
okay,
you had a giant-ass dragon are standing next to the entire platoon, division.
One of those.
Large military group of flying folks, because there's a whole bunch of them.
Oh, yeah.
They're all commanded by someone who gives you a weird look for a second.
Yeah. Forgot about that. That's not awkward.
Would Grix have given Steamboat any context?
Nope. Not unless it specifically came up. Or like... If we were all hanging out in like a meeting or something together and she was there, maybe, probably, but unless in the room with her, would not have occurred.
Yeah, so You know, Kova, Corvu.
Corva?
Cavagnon. You don't remember their name, Steamboat. But that person, the one you know is in charge, just gives you this long look for a second before seemingly making up her mind to ignore you and walking away.
Double finger guns.
Roll a charisma check.
Woof!
Decent. 24 total.
Trying to figure out how she'd be inclined to take it in the first place.
Not flirting finger guns. This is not like a winking,
okay,
how you doing kind of thing.
It's the weirdest, like, unintentional, we're cool thing.
Yeah.
This is like, hey, I see ya.
It's like Top Gun finger guns. You know, no, hey, no chief. Sexual undertones whatsoever.
All right.
Famously heterosexual movie.
Yes. You succeeded finger guns.
Mm-hmm.
It is totally platonic.
Sweet.
A rift in the world is healed. It didn't actually involve you in any way.
All right. Progress.
But all right, so you are ready to take flight. So you said you want to play defense, which means you're probably going to go after one of the corrupted groups that is kind of pushing in towards the door and has managed to push through the other formations. What kind of attacks were you thinking of doing from your glider?
Maybe I was thinking more like interception of anyone trying to land on the arcs. Ooh,
I like that. Okay. Like,
you know, just as they're getting a foothold, like, swoop down and shove them off.
Yeah. Okay.
Or just harass the shit out of them. Speaking of, when this actually happens, I need more throwable shit from my glider.
Because
I have very little in the way of potions and stuff left.
Luckily, you know an elk.
It's true.
Several.
I mean, assuming Vaughn's down for it. Maybe Vaughn just wants to spend every slot on glue to make that money.
Oh, Vaughn's, at this point, I think Vons's next big move is going to check on that cure or vaccine or whatever.
Fair enough.
I do have a question.
But that falls in the medical space.
Once Adam's finished.
Go on.
Can I find out how many of my magic users have other things besides magic missile? Because I can't be the only one who knows fireball or something like that.
Make an intelligence check. We can keep it as intelligence. Tempted to make it charisma, but I mean, these people are at least semi-reporting to you, so.
That's 20. Dirty 20.
A lot of these people have a lot of different stuff. It's a real grab bag. You do have some fireball. You have some lightning bolt, which outside is actually significantly less dangerous than inside, in a good way. Because lightning bolt bounces off stone surfaces, so inside the arcs, it's a real good way to accidentally kill your friends, possibly yourself, along with your enemies. You know, some people have fly, a lot of people have various small illusions. Obviously, the higher level the spell gets, the less people have it, but you have some artillery scattered amongst.
Okay. It occurred to me after my turn was over, and I thank you for the moment.
All right. Okay, so Steamboat, you were going to go and push things off the arcs as they tried to land.
Yeah.
This is being cunningly simulated by people with extremely long poles, string, and various poorly constructed, you know, scarecrow, puppet, effigy, whatever you want to call it, things. So sure. You can go and take flight and try to, you know, bash into a few of those, test some things out.
Yeah.
Make a piloting check.
Ooh, that was really good. 16 on the die, 28, 9.
I'm rolling extremely well today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you go and you take off and you manage to do a very good perimeter of a chunk of the plaza where you manage to not only use your, I imagine you're like using your size to like cut the string as a way of simulating it or anything else.
I figured that's what I'll do. I'll just, you know, I'll swing by, I'll do a scythe by attack and in the real time. And if they don't get out of the way, they get cut. If they get out of the way, they're off. And
your intelligence check is high enough that you don't accidentally kill any people holding the poles. And also,
hell yeah.
and also you manage to like go past, you know, five in a row and just snip, 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 snip and pull up. And you think you've actually got a pretty good handle on kind of what path you can take to do this and still recover some height.
Sweet. I'm using bean bags to simulate the thrown potions and scrolls and stuff too. So,
yeah, doing some dive bombing some strafing as you go over the main battle. All right. So all this goes on for a bit. Grix.
Yeah.
You were just before the inside.
Yes.
A group of corrupted reaches the door and yells base. The door is open to simulate a breach.
Okay, I'm going to use some big spells, some big illusion spells now to like really make it super scary for the defenders right on the inside.
Roll intelligence and charisma in that order.
Hey, remember how you said I was rolling real well?
I did.
Yeah, not so great this time. Got a 20 total for the intelligence that you said was first.
Yep.
Yes, 20 for the intelligence. And then a 2 on the die, so 13 for the charisma.
Okay. So you go, you summon the scariest things you can think of, and you know, you put in a lot of variety, you put in a lot of thought into how they position themselves, you manage to like mask all of the actors with them, uh-huh. So they'll have some heft to them when the actors run up and bat somebody with a practice sword.
Unfortunately, they're just kind of white blobs, like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah. OG Vons.
Uh-huh.
The Arx has been breached by several large Stay Puft Marshmallow Men. What kind of sound effects is Grix making for these guys?
I'm going to get you. I'm a monster.
It is very scary, Vaughn. So scary. How do you play defense against these fearsome creatures?
I think they're both kind of laughing a little.
Yeah, probably.
This is about OG Vaughn's first, right?
Yes.
Well, clearly the door is no good for getting injured through at this point.
Yeah, they mostly come in through side doors anyway. This big door seals with a stone-shaped spell, so it kind of only has open and close and doesn't do either very quickly.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
While he does have stone shape and probably do it, but it's probably just always on the door, probably cast by some guy nearby, right?
It's an enchantment on the door itself.
Ooh, neat.
Yeah.
That's very fancy. It's an expensive spell.
It's like only the best for stopping breaches into the city most of the time.
Well, since it would take a while, I think foaming the door up would be a good immediate thing to slow things down and freeze whatever's in there so that we could get some cheap shots in, but...
All right.
Yeah.
Roll an intelligence check to place your foam. Also, how are you distributing your foam? Is this rapid-fire sandwich shooter? Is this just chucking it with your arms?
Yeah, this would be the rapid-fire sandwich shooter. We would definitely have that prepared.
Okay. So yeah, roll your intelligence check.
Okay, got a 10 on the die. This is an int check, so that throws that up to 22.
Okay, you go. You rapid fire. Among the rar, I'm scary, rar, you hear several things along the lines of, again, does this stain? It's the sounds of people awkwardly falling.
Oh, I should mention, I don't think Vons would actually want to hurt anybody, so he'd also be careful to avoid suffocating anyone.
I assume you're firing it at people's feet, and that Grix
now.
Is These people aren't professionals.
Grix is not. You better get out of the way.
We'd actually be firing at like the door area, the door jamb, basically the edges of the door to try to shut the
trying to like plug it back up.
Yeah, starting with the feet, sure.
Yeah. So you keep it low. I imagine you make it so that even if someone is particularly small, like a kobold, they will not be suffocated. Your infinite mercy and wisdom. And you do a good job of slowing people down and making it so, you know, people in the back have to climb over, things like that. Grix, it's tricky to keep your illusions going as everything changes height on you, but you manage it pretty well. Last but not least, Cool Ranch. Some of these creatures had made their way inside.
So what's the protocol for... Like, is this, like, touch football rules? Or are we trying to, like, yank a flag off of them or something?
Yeah, or, like paintball, I guess, you know, basically. Sure. If you bath them once with your practice weapon, you know, if you get a touch, then they lose kind of thing. So, don't stab anybody. That's an important step. And then
that'd be awful.
But yeah, there's a... Actually, touch football rules would be a good idea. So yeah, let's do that. You have to grab a flag.
Sure.
Well, you have to bat them once and grab a flag because they want to make sure you know how to use your weapon to some extent.
Well, yeah, you have to track scoring somehow.
Yeah.
So, he's going to spider climb his way up to like the arc of the door.
Okay.
Just top bit there. And he's going to, just from the top, get the drop on as many as he can.
Okay. So it's a pretty tall door, but what you can do, this is a door that, you know, wagons and occasional siege vehicle have gone through. So you won't be able to reach down from the top, but you can go and get up there, wait for the group to get in, and then drop down behind them and start stealing flags.
Oh, what if he, like, Mario style, just, like, jumps from one to the other?
That may cause more severe injury, but you're welcome to try it.
Oh, we don't want to hurt anybody.
If you make a good dex check, you won't.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to try that, and hopefully he's, like, lightweight enough. He's just going to target the bigger guys.
All right. Make an intelligence check leading into this.
Not great. 4 on the die, that would put that up to 16.
Okay, you cannot see through Grix's illusions well enough to know for sure what size any of the creatures are, because I imagine he's making some of them artificially large and vice versa. So you'll have to go by touch. It just means you don't get a bonus on the roll. You don't have a penalty. So okay. Roll a dexterity check.
Yeah, the dex does not a hell of a lot better. 18. It's prime.
Okay. You go, you drop down, roll a d6 3 times and tell me what you get each time.
A 3, a 4, and a 1.
Okay. You land on someone, you manage to spread it out, you still hear them go, combination of ah and ugh, before jumping to the next one, where instead of landing on their shoulders like you did with the first one, you accidentally step on their head. You hear them fall underneath you. But the last one is perfect. It's one step across, you manage to do a, you know, sweep down with your arm and grab the flag. It's like you barely touch them, you feel them stumble slightly. And then you, you know, land in a roll, grab another couple people's flags, and have basically defeated their entire rear line with only mild injury to some of the the actors involved.
Sorry, it's my first day!
But alright, so you guys go, you all played your parts, you know, the battle continues to swirl around you, but the group in command does manage to fight off the squad that gets towards them, or that got in there, and kind of reseal the door a bit. Jesse, your squad gets pushed back, but you also manage to hold the line. And essentially, everyone manages to hold the line pretty well. Wealthy, by the end of it, your folks are sort of running out of spells, so there's discussions of if they should have backup weapons. But
yeah.
You've succeeded at the second drill.
Yay!
Got 9 out of 10 points. Hell yeah. So, Wealthy, since you've been tacitly put in charge of the mages, because all the professors are like, this isn't in my contract. Nah, you just have combat experience as a mage, which is relatively rare. and we're willing to be put in charge, which is also relatively rare. What kind of backup weapons are you thinking for your cadre of spellcasters?
Oh, shit. Well, Fireball works really, really well.
I should clarify, for when they run out of spells.
Oh, for when they will run out of spells. I think that they would do best with, like, pikes. Something that they can have length and stab with, rather than something that requires a huge amount of skill, like a sword or a mace, which they're probably going to, you know, like they throw them, you know, they
swing the mace
hit with
down
the mace
and, break their
and then stab themselves in the head, you know. But they don't want to do that. So I think a pike, I think a series of pikes, you know.
Okay.
Which is probably something they ought to practice because it's very difficult to stab things if you haven't practiced.
Also, like,
things.
pike is real heavy. What if they just had normal spears?
Trout.
Maybe a salmon.
I didn't realize pikes were heavy, so yeah.
Wizards technically only know clubs, daggers, darts, and staves, but you have people
staves
that can
good.
Train them.
Yeah,
a good stave.
I mean, staves are fine.
All right. Jesse, do you want to roll a quick... We can make it wisdom. You're training a smaller group of people. You can do the Zen Master thing or whatever, you know, or however you would phrase it. Anyway, roll a wisdom check to help these people learn how to use a weapon they do not normally use.
That's 21 on a prime.
Okay. You make it so that these folks can use spears, I think was the thing you're arriving on, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think that's what we decided on.
You figure out to make it how these people can use spears. You teach them how to, you know, brace them against the charge. So that all these folks who are generally, but not always, but generally not the brawniest people in the world, don't have to use main strength to hold back a line of people.
Yeah.
And make it so they won't hurt themselves, and that's really the most important part.
Just remember, this end is sharp. So, like, that's really important.
Yeah, don't, these are the things that I've learned. Don't poke your friends.
No, not even once. It's a tool.
It ruins the relationship.
Not a tool. I mean, it improved my relationships, but like probably not for everybody. You're all kinky nerds. I'm sure you'll do fine.
So do we want to try to turn the corruption on or
no?
Would that weird them out?
No. I don't recommend. Please don't.
Hey, do you know if the corruption fucks?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know if the corruption fucks.
That's not something Jesse ever thought about.
That's not something Jesse ever thought about. That's something Aristine used to think about a lot.
We're never going to solve this academic mystery.
Okay. I don't think you should want to solve that academic mystery, my dude.
Listen, I'll go down. I'll be invisible. I'll make a really sexy Bugs Bunny shadow corrupted. You know, that's all like, yoo-hoo, boys.
Play some Marvin Gaye in the background.
Yeah.
Do you not remember the very long conversation that Aristine had with Shad? Okay.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But this is a way to stress test it. We just don't know. How does sexy Bugs Bunny affect everything? It's an important variable to consider.
Hmm. Yes, sexy Bugs Bunny can be very difficult to resist.
It's so weird playing a different character because I'm no longer interested in the answer to this question. Like, legitimately, I'm...
Hey, that's good role-playing.
You're all, like, talking about this, and I'm just like, Jesse doesn't want to know the answer to any of these questions.
Yeah.
Not even remotely. Like, negative interest. Yeah. Aggressively repelled.
Yeah. Okay. So you go, you finish round two of your drills. So round three is the one where I believe the plan was to, sometime in this, you know, 3 week span, the drill will start without notice to test if you're able to just, you know, do this stuff automatically at this point. Is there anything that you all, as part of the planning committee, you know, after you figure out the snacks and the drinks, what do you think as far as timing? Do you want to do it in the middle of the night? Do you want to do it during a work day? Do you want to just roll a die 5,000 times in the background?
Can I confirm something here? We're actually talking about the moment when we actually land the arcs and we expect the corrupted to come upon us. Or are we talking about after we've landed the arcs and we're expecting the corrupted to come upon us?
Both. So basically, to land the arcs, you are going to need to turn off the shield at least for a bit because it's a bubble. And if you have it underneath you while trying to land, you're not really going to be able to get to the ground without slamming into the shield over and over again. So to settle yourself down, you need to have it turned off.
Is it a spherical shield? Will we roll? Like a marble?
That sounds fun. No, we won't roll because we have to turn it off.
If you did keep it on, you'd be more likely to possibly start tilting and then overload all of the enchanted shield stuff you made. So you could have the interesting experience of the arcs not only landing at full gravity acceleration, but doing so on its side. Which would be interesting to add some rotational force to the whole experiment, but it does make it harder to jump up at the last second.
Yeah, that's true. If we want everyone to jump at the last second, we definitely have to turn the shield off.
I love that that's our plan.
It's not. Just hey, doing a bit.
Hey, Grix, roll a charisma check. For reasons.
19.
You managed to get under control the rumor that was breaking out that you were all going to jump at the last minute.
Yay.
And stop people from trying to figure out how they were going to jump in the middle of combat. But yeah, so basically the shield's going to turn off kind of at the end of the approach. It'll take a good while, probably at least 10 minutes to actually like finish landing the thing and getting it in place.
Uh-huh.
And then turning the shield back on will take a little bit too. So you're basically going to need to be fighting off an air attack and then basically them coming in either flying stuff in or using flying units. And then when you land, you get to deal with the fact that a lot of them will probably charge through in whatever opening there is before the shield closes, and then you have to deal with anyone that got inside.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the answer to your question, Kelly, is yes.
Okay. Okay, then I think, are we going to do just one drill, or should we try a drill, like two or three drills, so that everybody, you know, so that we're doing different things?
All of The overall plan is kind of the same. A lot of the civilians ideally don't have to use any of the stuff you're drilling them for, and things breaking in is going to kind of be the same whether you're up in the air or down on the ground, assuming you don't fall or land super hard. Like, the transition will be minimal. And the people outside are mostly going to have a little more experience and be swapped out. And, like, the guardians themselves might have decided, you know, okay, you know, this platoon of people is going to be out for, like, the ground part. You know, we're going to swap as much as we can and take charge of the militias and things like that. So there's really only going to be one drill because you're defending the same location, whether it's in the air or not. And so there's less variation.
Okay.
I do realize there might be like a switch from range to melee and things like that. It depends on how the corruption behaves. And I think all of you at this point and the various, you know, leaders you're working with are all thinking that it's very possible the corruption will do something batshit and weird. So the be prepared for anything at any time is kind of the plan right now.
Okay.
Which I realize is not so much a plan, but you know, you know what I mean.
Cool.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I guess with that in mind,
I think we should random. I think it should be random. I don't want to. I don't know that, like, planning for like when the drill is for, I guess I.
Well, you are one of the people planning it. The general population won't know.
Yeah. That's I think it should be randomized even for us.
All right. Trying to think who the city would tap to be the one person who knows exactly when it's going to happen.
Gex.
I don't know. He might solve for dramatic effect.
That's fine.
Guess that's fair.
I mean, or we could go down and ask the pilot, like,
hey, I'm going to roll this die in front of you with my eyes closed.
I mean, like, we could go down and ask the pilot when landing is going to happen.
You guys have some control over that. Like, you can approach slightly more slowly or quickly, depending on, like, time of day, if that's what you're worried about. I guess you could.
I think what Aaron is saying is that they don't care.
Yeah, I figured.
And dealer's choice.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, essentially, okay. Like.
All right, you go. You completely randomized the drill. Okay, Alvin holds your fate in his hands, which is unfortunate because they've been melted into a crystal, which makes it hard to grip things.
We just pop it in his mouth and he can spit it out.
Awful. I approve. And with this perfect randomness, at 5:37 a.m. on Fantasy Friday,
oof,
the drill breaks out.
Oh, Fantasy Friday.
It's time for the drill. You were all probably in bed. What do you do?
Run outside real fast.
Gets up, puts on her armor, goes outside.
Well, obviously those of us who were being the bad guys would need to, like, be awakened a little early and go out and set up.
Bartholomew wakes you up at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Squeak, squeak.
I pop him on the head. That's how you snooze. Snooze your mouse alarm clock.
I'm sure he appreciates that.
Probably.
It's a communication they're used to.
You get bit in a teaching you a lesson way, not an injuring way.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, man. Little Bunny Fufu just was, like, really cranky about getting up, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Griggs?
Yeah.
Well, do you go get coffee?
No, there's no time.
Make a constitution check.
Uh-oh. Natural one.
Okay. Griggs is very sleepy.
Bad.
Eepy Kobold.
So you do make it out. You make it out to the front, but you're dragging a bit. It's a bit of a struggle. That'll just give you a penalty when you're making your illusion checks, at least the first one or two, until the adrenaline kicks in. All right. So Jessie got up, got her armor on.
Mm-hmm.
Jessie, make a strength check.
25 on a prime?
You laugh at the dawning rules. I don't need to roll. It takes me one round, you say. So you jump in your armor and then just run across a huge percentage of the arcs and get outside. Well before a lot of other people.
Jessie has been ready.
Jessie's kids have woken her up at 5:30 a.m. on random days for years.
Yeah.
Doesn't even faze her. All right. OG Vons.
Yes?
You are being awoken by an alarm. 5:37 a.m. on a Fantasy Friday.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle this?
Not well.
How does that express itself?
General grogginess, irritability, yearning to throw glass for no reason.
Yeah, but how is today different?
Today he slowly grabs his bag and migrates to the door and...
Vaughn, make a wisdom check.
Wisdom check, yeah. God, it's so early. Natural 20.
It's so early, and you manage to do what looks like fucking Tai Chi, but for getting ready. It's deceptively slow, and yet suddenly you are ready, and you are at the door in several smooth, very deliberate, somehow, motions.
Ah, it's so stupid.
You don't get distracted once. You don't break anything.
I hate this. This is the worst natural 20 ever.
You got getting up so down you can do it in your sleep.
Yeah.
Just like They Might Be Giants said.
Trying to figure out if Vaughn's being knocked out by a chemical would make it easier or harder for him to wake up, depending on which chemical he uses.
Depends on what chemical he follows it up with.
Vaughn just wakes up, stabs an adrenaline needle directly into his heart.
His alarm clock just sandwich shoots smelling salts at his bed.
God, just burns out his smell receptors for the entire day. All right. Cool, Vons. Are you crashing at the brewery these days?
Yeah, sure. I honestly, did we ever figure out what Cool Vons's living arrangements were?
Yes, we did. He's staying at the brewery.
Yeah,
staying at the brewery. Sure. That was such a fleeting moment, I'm sure.
I mean, you could be drifting around. You could be trying to live that van life inside the arcs. Just have a cart that you manually drag from neighborhood to neighborhood every day for no reason.
Yeah, he never really did figure out which neighborhood was his vibe, really, right? Like,
God, I really like that idea because it would be so foreign to a place that's an enclosed city.
Yep.
You know, free public housing.
Oh, it would be so much like him, too, to just, like, crash on people's couches.
You could also do the hostel thing and go and crash in all the public housing beds, you know, travel around. Or you could do both.
Yeah.
You could have just been on everyone's couch by now.
That's probably a mishmash of whatever, and yeah.
All right.
Just testing his friend's patience.
Aaron, roll me a d10 and tell me what you get.
A 10.
Cool, Vons. You were wandering around last night, and you ran into someone who has the most comfortable couch.
Yeah.
You wake up on the first floor of a certain apartment building on the couch of one Aramith Mayfinwy.
Ah, all right.
Interesting.
As the bells ring, you hear some crashing from inside Aramith's bedroom, so presumably she's been woken up.
I assume she's enlisted, too.
Yes, very much so. Whenever anyone asks her where she learned to fight with knives and leather armor and stuff, she says either finishing school or don't worry about it. But either way, cool, Vons. Yeah. What steps do you take to get ready and get out there?
Well, Aramith and I get to team up on the getting ready, so I imagine we might actually like have some amount of breakfast to split and maybe coffee. But yeah, after we grab our, we're probably moving with sandwiches in hand.
Yeah, you prepared breakfast empanadas just for this purpose.
Yeah, it's a very like '90s commercial out the door kind of vibe.
Oh my god, yes.
Roll a charisma check.
All right.
The DC is not particularly high because I like this a lot.
That's good because it didn't roll particularly high. His charisma, I think, would put him at 18.
It's a squeaker, but you look very 90s commercial in the most positive way possible. You are in 4x3.
480i resolution. It's a little grainy, but...
But it's analog, so there's kind of a nice blur to it.
Once the VCR's like scan lines straighten up, it's we're moving, we're getting.
You successfully leap over the scan line, so it can't trip you up to make your way forward. And the coffee and an empanada is prepared in a truly staggeringly short amount of time, while also pulling on armor and stuff, are delicious. All right, Aldroa.
Mm-hmm. I too do not want to wake up. I do not wake up well. Especially when I'm sleeping in my own bed. I am a halfling after all. I like my comfort.
You're
Oh, no, wait. Shit, I'm Weldra. I'm Weldra. Shit.
You are a bed.
I mean... Wealthy, make a constitution check. This is just for flavor.
Oh, nat 20.
Sweet. I'm going to make that a success because you got a nat 20 and I don't want you to waste that roll. So you wake up pretty fast. Not as fast as the druid did. You start, your eyes don't really open up. You start processing visual input as the armor closes around you. Because the druid was already leaping into it full speed.
Oh, fun.
Make a dexterity check to get out your door without breaking things.
Okay.
Because this armor is very big.
That's a 19, 28, 29.
Okay. So you take your armor, which is 7.5 feet tall, and at least probably 4 feet wide at its widest part, ? I did not get a chance to draw it out and get a feel for those proportions. It's a squat, or it's a very like broad, you know, brawny kind of build for the armor. But you definitely managed to, you know, step sideways through those doors, do kind of a lunge shimmy thing to stop yourself from smashing through the doorframe with your head.
Which, as we may recall, since you live in the Temple of Xandra, you
That's a very good point. You combat crawl out of your damn apartment, because that's the only way you're going to get out.
You literally live in a place that was sized to your proportions.
Uh-huh. Yes. You live in a half-height building.
That's true.
And now... you are a large person.
Yeah, so you managed to do this weird combat, you know, army crawl, squirm, wriggle thing and get out your front door without damaging it. Congratulations.
Yay!
Okay. And Steamboat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are you staying these days?
We never established that, really,
did we? I thought we established that you were living with Grix and Wealthy.
Maybe.
Yeah, but there's also no reason for that to be permanent. Because I think we established that pretty early on.
Sure.
At a certain point.
Granted, yeah, I haven't decided if FM moved out of living with Frymeath at any point, so you know.
Well, I mean, shortly after that, we would have been like, hey, we need to land this thing. Yeah. So I don't know that moving would have been a high priority.
Yeah, although you don't have a lot of stuff to move. But yeah. So you just kept crashing on the couch?
Man, rub in that he's basically unhoused.
It's fine.
It's that you can get a free house here. Well, a free small apartment here. So.
I'll keep living there for now, I suppose.
Okay.
Until we're done.
So you wake up. There is a giant mech crawling through your apartment.
Okay. Happens.
Do you want to bail out a window and just glide down to the street?
No, I mean, I'm also being awakened, right?
Yeah.
So, like for the task at hand.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'll get up and do normal.
Okay. Roll a dexterity check just to move quickly.
Okay. Natural 20, beating the natural one I got on the last one.
How are we getting so many 20s right now?
I don't know.
We're wasting them, guys. Gonna need those 20s.
It's just a perfect time to be seated to get a nat 20.
Yeah. All right. So everyone, with various degrees of success, makes their way. Actually, you all did pretty well. Grix is just a little groggy.
Uh-huh.
You all make your way to your positions for the last round of drills. So... everyone make intelligence or wisdom checks, your choice, just to get an idea of how everybody's doing.
Oh, wow. I got a 14 total on a prime for wisdom.
I got a 26 on a prime for intelligence.
So Nacho got 15, and Cool Ranch got 30.
Amazing.
All right.
So very Vaughns.
18 for Grix, 22 for Steamboat.
Okay. Bit of a mixed round there. But between all of you, I guess so, Cool Ranch fucking manages to pull his perspective out to some sort of top-down view. Like he's playing a video game and just immediately analyze everything. Again, somehow. Well, I guess, you know, you're having your 90s commercial moment. You're having a great fucking day.
Yeah, this is a good morning for some reason. He probably won the flag football thing, and it's been a good night. Didn't pull any muscles.
Yeah, great start to another great day at the end of the world. And you get a really good feel for the crowd, because you're hustling through a couple neighborhoods to get up to the front. And you see that people are falling in line pretty well, that, you know, people seem nervous and groggy and disoriented, but, like, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. in a way that makes you feel pretty confident about all of this. They're not going to be perfect. A lot of them are civilians, but they're doing honestly better than one would reasonably expect, given the situation. Mm-hmm. Jesse.
Uh-huh.
There's a formation, and you are in it, and you are where you are supposed to be. That's about all you get.
Cool, great. I have so much confidence in everyone else's ability to do whatever it is they're doing.
Have you ever met any of us?
I rolled a 14 total, so I'm here. Jesse is present.
She wisely remembers that you've succeeded in the past, and that's about it. That's about all she gets. All right, Grix.
Uh-huh.
I imagine you're doing kind of a leadership thing. You know, you're checking in with various high-level people as you go. Because you're one of the high-level people now.
Yeah.
And as far as you can tell, everyone seems pretty confident. People seem to know what they're doing. You don't notice too many, like, bureaucratic line-of-command snafus. It seems like things aren't moving totally smoothly. There are a lot of people working together that haven't necessarily worked closely together before. So I think you pick up on this and that. But
that's why we're doing this.
Yep. Overall, things are going okay. Vons?
Mm.
All these people are horribly awake and you hate them, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, at least they're awake.
Yep. Not asking me for anything.
Well, Droa.
Mm-hmm.
Several of your university-trained wizards have forgotten their scantrons, but are otherwise in place and ready in time.
So, okay. Look,
they have this moment of, do they use scantrons anymore?
I thought it was funny.
Thank you.
I was trying to figure out if they meant that.
I think that they meant it metaphorically.
Yes. Is a scantron a material component? Discuss. Off the recording. All right. So you go, you know, some people are a little bit shaky. At least one person shows up in a toga. Didn't have time to change, I guess. But they have their spear and they have their material components. And so yeah, your group seems, you know, a little nervous, a little not completely prepared, but you know, you'll make fighting people out of these folks yet. And you've done a pretty good job getting them there. Steamboat, you rolled pretty high from what I remember.
Why was I high?
I thought you rolled fairly high.
Oh.
Yeah, rolled fairly high.
Then you talked about the guy in the toga, so I don't know.
Oh yeah, no, that's one of the spellcasters. You are ready to fly. It is a beautiful morning to fly.
Yeah.
Insert other cliches that pilots I'm sure would be very fond of here. And yeah, your squad seems pretty good to go. All right, so the second round of drills starts. We're just going to quickly go down. Each do, you know, one whole thing each.
Uh-huh.
Jesse?
Yeah.
You're called upon to reinforce a collapsing line of militia.
I think we'll, like, sort of polka dot ourselves in wherever we're like, needed on this.
Roll a wisdom check to get the vibes of where you are needed.
That's a 27 total.
All right. You polka dot in just right. You see your dad cheerfully grab someone who's fallen by the back of their shirt and just lift them directly to their feet while fighting off someone with his other arm. And you get in front, you defend some people who look at you with stars in their eyes as you are very heroic.
Hey.
And I imagine look very cool.
Hey, you're doing great. Just stand up again.
Wow, I believe in myself because of you, and they stand up.
That's all it takes.
OG Vons. Actually, no, sorry. I'll get back to you in a second, because I should do the people that are definitely outside first before the people that would be inside during a breach. My mistake. All right. Well, Droa.
Mm-hmm.
People brought their big guns today. They got some fireballs in there. They got some hallucinatory terrains. Well, exactly one of them has hallucinatory terrain. They have their summons. All of that. How do you direct them to use their new and varied abilities in battle, now that they're not just essentially fixed gun emplacements with magic missile?
I'm afraid. Well, no. How do I put this?
No, okay. Show fear. That's great for morale.
No. No. So I'm urging them, and I'm like, and now you've got corrupt. Do we have corruption coming on us? We have our play corruption coming at us, and yes. Now I'm like, okay, so you're gonna shoot your magic missile over the top of their heads, but when you're doing it for real, you need to be shooting at the corruption. But these aren't the corruption, because you know these are citizens of the Ark, so you don't want to be killing them. So you're gonna shoot them over the top of the head, and now you've run out of magic missile. So if you've got lightning or fireball, I need you to go ahead and just start lobbing that stuff and make sure the fireball is going to go way the heck over on the other side, you know, like out over the arcs. You don't want it. You don't want it over the people who are playing the corrupted. Okay, so let's lob the fireballs. Okay, that's great. Cool. Ah, great fireball. And then that definitely took out, you know, like 50 corrupted. And then we're gonna do lightning bolt and we're gonna aim for that tree. Yeah, everybody. Oh, good. Yeah. Joe, you really need to aim a little bit better. Sorry.
Are we supposed
Steve.
To destroy trees?
And then, okay, so everybody's out of magic. Okay, let's use our spears and poke. Hey, everybody turn them around and then poke.
Well, Drolla, roll a charisma check.
Okay, God.
Out of D6. I haven't done any bonuses, but that was a pretty good acting.
17.
Including the D6?
And including a D6. Come on. Oh. Okay, so that was, what was it? 17, so the 6 plus 6 is 12, is 21 on a not prime.
6 plus 12 is 23.
No, 6 plus 6 is 12, plus 11 is 21.
12 plus 11 is 23.
12 plus 11 is 23.
Well, okay, fine. This is why I use a calculator in Excel, okay?
I know. This is why I use a dice roller.
Well, I'm looking at a dice roller, but I had to count myself. Okay, never mind.
Well, Drew, there are several minor injuries as people try to make a spell that never misses. And you do damage a tree.
I feel
you know
bad
there's
about
a fine
that.
For that. It's not a cheap fine either. But you keep everyone together, you manage to use their spells pretty effectively, and you manage to direct them pretty well.
Okay.
That said, and then a steamboat.
Yeah.
They have upped the number of targets for today's landing practice.
Okay.
Are you going to try to shove people off again, or are you going to be doing other, or are you going to be practicing your beanbag throwing and stuff like that?
Shoving people off, I think, is the most important part. The scythes are the most tricky.
All right.
If I miss with a beanbag, that's fine. If I miss with the scythe, I might, you know, die.
Okay. Roll a piloting check.
23.
Steamboat?
Yeah.
You fly so good, you could beat Superman 64. You pull all these tight turns. You hit every target you have. You even manage to direct some of your wing folks to be extra effective and, you know, double hitting some of the things that are supposed to simulate bigger creatures and stuff like that. And you are just going, so fast, while still having perfect control.
Hell yeah.
You probably outspeed everyone, almost, actually, because a lot of people are just flying, and the magic flyers have a top speed limit. So yeah, the rest of you all see I guess your armor is silver, so a silver dart just shooting through the air on glorious wings.
So what I'm hearing is that I'm unstoppable.
That is definitely the lesson you should take away from this, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely let my newfound fighter pilot bravado just boil to the surface.
Absolutely. We'll get you some aviator sunglasses.
Yep.
Flight jacket.
Uh-huh.
You'll just randomly sort of bite at people.
Yep.
Walk around going, I feel the need for speed.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Chewing on an unlit cigar. Yep. Yep.
I'm imagining Steamboat singing Welcome to the Danger Zone to himself as he does all of this.
or Unchained Melody, you know.
Or, yeah.
No. Hooray. No.
Not Unchained Melody?
That okay. was really, that part was so stupid.
Okay. I only saw the movie once.
There were a lot of stupid parts.
I've never seen the movie. I know there's beach volleyball.
Right into the Danger Zone is a much better one. For this. Unchained Melody is for like a romance scene.
Maybe Steamboat catches Corva's eye as they fly through the air. Things get weird.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. All right. Grix.
Yep.
For the purposes of simulation.
Yes.
A couple of groups have broken through and have reached the door.
Great. I'm making it big and scary.
All right.
The doing like a hallucinatory terrain out here. So it's like a, you know, blasted hellscape, and there's thousands of corrupted swarming at the door.
Roll Roll an intelligence check. I was going to have you subtract the d6, but hallucinatory terrain is very clever, so you overcome your sleepiness.
19 on the die.
And don't take that penalty. Nice.
I think you should make me do that anyway.
Okay. Take off a d6. You have a moment where you think you're going to rally, and then you remember, and you just yawn as you try to remember something.
28.
Everybody, you glance behind you at the simulated breach.
Scary.
You're pretty sure the ground wasn't like that before. But oh. Grix, make a charisma check to seal the deal.
The flaming tentacles are a surprise.
Why is it doing that?
Oh. 3 on the die, so... 16.
16 on a prime?
It's not bad. Yeah. But
it's a very workman-like hellscape.
It's very Viewmaster.
Yeah, like, you're all looking back. It's very scary. It's also like, those tentacles feel like they're not moving quite enough. You don't know how much a flaming tentacle would move, but it seems like slightly more than that.
One moves, then the other moves, then the other moves, then the other moves.
The shadows are slightly off. A couple of them go through walls and extend to the other side. So what do your corrupted look like as they breach through the door?
I think kind of like one mass, sort of. Like,
okay. Just like a big roiling mass.
Yeah, but with like, you know, faces and bodies that kind of like emerge out of it.
Back in. That's pretty fucking scary.
Yeah.
OG Vons.
Huh?
A roiling, terrifying mass of corrupted creatures is coming through the door out of a blasted hellscape.
Again. Blasted hellscape. Great.
Several people in front of you appear to be slightly freaking out while trying to get their shields up and things like that. But what do you do?
Can I tell that these have to be illusionary?
Yeah.
Like, logic.
Yeah, you know in advance.
You know it's illusionary. Coming.
Yeah. So...
I assume everyone essentially agreed to fail their saves, because otherwise the drill becomes much less realistic. But I guess I can't tell you what to do.
Right. Well, he's not going to waste potions on it. I guess he's just going to, or maybe he should waste look, he's got a fuck ton of glue right now.
He could throw beanbags everybody else has been doing.
Oh, sure. Yeah. He'll just use his shooter guy and just pelt it with beanbags.
Uh-huh.
Why not? Seems like fun.
Just an empty glass bottle to simulate the potion. You know,
just cover it in shattered glass. Potato launch
a bunch of broken glass at people.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
What could go wrong?
Steve got injured earlier, but Bob just gets shot in the back with a broken bottle.
Ow.
No, I assume that's not what's happening. All right. OG Vons, make a dex check to wield your sandwich shooter with terrifying speed and precision.
All right, 15 on the die. 26.
All right.
27.
You see this crowd going towards you. Just beanbag, 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 reload, beanbag, beanbag. Pastrami on rye, beanbag, reload.
Oh, that was my lunch.
Burst shot of fries. But yeah, you hold off. You do a great job, you know, cutting down this front line. Flags are surrendered to you en masse. Cool Ranch Vons.
He's just yelling, quick, grab those. Those are mine.
5 second rule. I guess you meant the flags. I like that you were trying to rescue all the fries.
It could be both.
Yes. All right. Cool Ranch Vons. How are you contributing against the swarm of corrupted creatures?
It's a bigger swarm this time, isn't it? It is.
Yeah. Much less fluffy marshmallowy.
Yeah, lot less to bounce on. I guess he's going to just hide just beside the door there, just beside the breach, and yank whatever flags he can.
All right.
Just kind of hit and run over and over.
Does your armor give any bonus to your stealth checks?
You know, I think just something. See, I got to pull up his sheet. Well, it's called Shadowed Knight Armor for Kick-Ass Evasion.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, probably. It's a lot of reading, I'm sorry.
Nah, no worries. Roll a dex check, and I don't remember how that armor works, so just add a d4, because you're very well equipped for doing exactly what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I feel like that armor gave you a bonus, but I cannot remember what it is. So.
Well, it's going to have to be a lot. So adding a d4 to a roll of 5... 2. So if it's a dex check, that's 7 plus 11 is 18. No, plus one is 19. So yeah.
All right.
That.
You go, you hide behind the door, start grabbing flags. You do get discovered relatively quickly, but you manage to grab like 3 flags before they do. And then I think you probably put up a pretty good fight with your katana as you are, you know, beaten back to join up with the rest of the line. But all right. Over time, you know, the battle wanes. Various other neighborhoods have their own breach practices that are going on, you know, independently. And you all, the vast majority of your roles were successes on this drill. So the city does pretty damn well on this one, too. Sweet. You guys think at the end of all this, when you're doing your debrief, that you're about as ready as you can be from a city readiness perspective. So.
Cool.
So.
Yay.
What?
Yeah.
Go us.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Does Vons have an opportunity to check on his cure or vaccine or whatever we're calling it for the like how's that coming along?
Well, I think next time we're probably going to do some prep before we actually do the big old landing encounter.
Uh-huh.
So we can check on it then.
Yeah, everybody's got to need a nice healthy breakfast.
Yes.
Definitely got to have coffee that day.
Yeah. So all right. You guys have prepped the city, now you just need to prep yourselves, and that's where we'll pick up next time.
Yay!
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you just heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions and comments and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter @PrimeAttribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our blazed posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Troll Lord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Ian. Thanks, Ian! Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute. I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard, currently melded with Weldroa. With God damn it! Hi, I'm Kelly.
Okay.